gospel is good news. Good news. And by God's grace, I know that that's why we're here this morning, is to hear some good news. And I thought David wrote in Psalm 63, he said, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." And that's this world, this wilderness that we live in. There's no comfort, there's no peace, there's nothing in this world. You know, the waters that are in this world are like the waters of what is it, Mara. They're just bitter. They're bitter. But David's desire was to see the power and the glory as he seen thee in the sanctuary. The gospel is good news. And it's by the preaching of the gospel, by the word of God, that we hear, that we see, that we understand. And that's why we're here this morning. We need some good news. I want to hear some good news this morning. I do. Now, David said, "I was happy when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." David had one desire, he said, and that's what I'm going to seek after. And that's to be in the house of God, to behold his glory. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We are told that the word of God is not going to return unto him void. It's going to accomplish the purpose that he sent it for. And it's by the preaching of the gospel that God saves sinners. It's how he reveals himself unto us. It's how we grow. It's by the preaching of the gospel that the body of Christ is edified, that we come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a pure man. And when the gospel of Christ goes forth in saving power, when we receive the Spirit of the Word, he causes us to know the things that are freely given to us of God. And that's what our text points to. As Paul said in our text, he said, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." His unspeakable gift. And this morning I have some good news for you. And I pray it is for you. I pray it is. I pray this morning as the word goes forth that it doesn't fall to the wayside. I pray that it doesn't fall upon the rocks. I pray that it doesn't fall upon the thorns. As the word of God goes forth, I pray that it goes into the good ground. That God would be pleased to sow that seed of his word into our hearts and water it and nourish it. And by his grace, may it grow and bring forth fruit. There is a gift from the God of heaven. The God of heaven who's sovereign, who knows all things, who does all things. There's a gift from the throne of God to men. It's not a gift for all men. It's a precious gift. It's a gift particularly for his people, for those who are in Christ. Every gift of God is in Christ. Paul said we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. The love of God is in Christ. And this gift is described as unspeakable. And it's unspeakable because man and language are incapable of describing this gift. It's too high. It's too wide. It's too deep. It's the vastness of it. I mean, we haven't even explored parts of the ocean in this world. We discover new creatures all the time. You know, and the glory of God is manifested in creation. It's revealed in those things. We see his power and his wisdom and his might and his strength. How do we enter into the spiritual things which are unspeakable or unsearchable or unknowable? And if we're to know it, God must speak to our hearts. He has to reveal this. He has to show us this. He has to declare it unto us. And the simple words of this message can't even accomplish that. That's why the gospel, when it goes forth, it has to go forth through the power of the Spirit. The words of a man can't communicate and reveal these things unto you. It's by the preaching of the gospel that he does this, but there's no power that I have. Paul said that he planteth and Apollo watereth, but it's God that giveth the increase. If it's not for the power of the Spirit, these are just words. That's all they are. They're just words. But they are the words of the truth. They are the words of the gospel. And this is the means by which God does it. God uses vessels, like in vessels of clay that are absolutely nothing, to declare the unspeakable gift of God. But by his Spirit, he reveals these things unto us. By his Spirit, he causes us to know and to understand. And like David said, there's no water in this world for my flesh and for my soul. What I have to have is I have to have the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's what we live by. That's what gives us strength. That's what gives us comfort. That's what gives us peace. That's what we rest in. And that's why we're here this morning, because there's nothing else in this world that's going to satisfy the hunger and the thirst that I have for righteousness. There's nothing in this world that's going to satisfy the desire that I have, that I need. I need this morning. I need the presence of Christ. I need it. I have to have it. And even this morning, as I sat down and I looked at my message, it just, you know, there's almost like a certain fear that fell upon me, because I realized the incapability that I have to even communicate this. It's almost, I don't know, it's, how do you describe these things? I don't know. I mean, as we look at this passage in the light, or as we look at this passage, I want us to, and we have to, it's of necessity that as we consider the unspeakable gift of God, we see it in the person and work of Christ. You know, that this book, everything in this book is concerning him from the very beginning, in the beginning God, all the way to the very end. Every word, every picture, every example, every declaration, everything is all Christ, every single bit of it. And we need him to reveal these things to us, because if he doesn't, then we're not going to know it. I mean, so many times, you know, it's like even before a message will be preached, we'll read the passage. And just from, you know, first glance, you look at it and you don't even see Christ in it. But it's then all of a sudden when the message is preached, you see those things. You're like, oh, all of a sudden it's like, that's it. And that's what the Lord does. And this passage, like I said, we're going to look at it in the person and work of Christ. And the thing is, you cannot separate the work of Christ from Christ. You just can't. When you see Christ, when you know Christ, it's in who he is and what he accomplished on the cross. And that's the message of the gospel from the very beginning all the way to the end. It declares the person and work of Christ, who he did and what he did for those whom God the Father gave him in the covenant of salvation before the foundation of the world. And we must begin by declaring who the gift of God is. The gift of God is not a what, it's a who. It's a who. It's a person, just like my salvation. My salvation is a person. My salvation is Christ. It's him. I have to have him. The gift of God to his people is a person, and it's his precious son. And it's like even this morning, as I just sat down and I thought about that, God gave us his son, that which was most precious to him, that which has been the object of his love for all eternity. There are many gifts that God bestows upon us. When Christ ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Every gift that God has, he gives us in Christ, every single one. He holds nothing back. He gives us peace and comfort and joy. He gives us righteousness, pardon, forgiveness, redemption, sanctification, justification. He gives us, in summation of all of that, what is that? It's salvation. However, all of these gifts are the result of the gift. The unspeakable gift of God is Christ, and in Him we have redemption. In Him we have justification. In Him we have rest. In Him we have salvation. In Him we have all things. As I said before, in Christ we've been given all spiritual blessings. In Him we have all things. Christ is my righteousness and my redemption. He's my rest. He's my peace. He's my salvation. All the gifts of God are in Christ, the gift of God. And when you consider the gift of God, the precious, perfect Son of God, whom He loved and loves for all eternity, that's where it becomes unspeakable. I mean, we're talking about a covenant of salvation that was struck between God the Father and God the Son before the foundation of the world. I mean, how does flesh even enter into that? John 3:16, the most probably popular and misunderstood, misrepresented, misused by wicked men. But John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. What did He give? The gift of God. He gave His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's it right there. That's the person and the work of Christ. He gave His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The gift of God to His people is His Son. And whoever believes in Him has life. Whoever looks to Him. Right before John 3:16, the Lord said, you know, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we know the account, I believe it's in Numbers, where, you know, the children of Israel sinned against God, and God sent fiery serpents unto them, and many of them died. Many died. But the Lord told Moses to make a brazen serpent. Whoever looked at that serpent was healed. And that serpent was Christ. That picture was Christ. And that's who God gave to this world. Look at Isaiah chapter 69. Like I said, this morning as I was sitting here looking at it, there were just a certain passages that kind of came to my mind. But look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah writes, "For unto us a child is born, a child, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who sits on the throne of heaven, He who is life, was born a child. But unto us a son is given." He wasn't born a son. Unto us a Son is given, the Son of God. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. What is His power? What is His might? What is His control? What is His reign? His sovereignty. The government is upon His shoulders. He doeth all things. He said, "I form the light and I create darkness." God doeth all things, and He doeth all things well. All power is His. All power is Christ. The Lord declare that unto, you know, who is He stood before, and He said, you know, "Do I not have power to set you free?" And the Lord put Him in His place, and He said, "You'd have no power unless the Father gave it unto you." He controls all things. The heart of the king is in His hand, and He turneth it howsoever He pleases. We have to understand who it is that was born a child and given unto us. It's the Son of God, God in human flesh. God, who had power to calm the storms. They say, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obeys Him?" I'll tell you what manner of man this is. It's the Son of God. The Son of God who has power on earth to forgive sins. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." And then He healed that man of his disease. And what do we call Him? What is His name? His name's called Wonderful. You know, we use certain words like wonderful and amazing, and we use them so easily in our language, but the truth of the matter is, you know, it's, we even call things good. The Lord said there's only one thing that's good. So why do we go around calling other things good? I mean, we do, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, wonderful. His name is wonderful. If you want to know what wonderful is, that's him. See him, know him, learn of him, and you'll understand what wonderful is. You'll understand what amazing is. His name shall be called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Peace. Look at Isaiah chapter 42, as we're in Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 42. Who is this gift of God? Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth to do the will of the Father. He came as a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He said, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, and whom my soul delighteth. And this is who we're talking about. The soul of God delighteth in him and has for all eternity. This is his precious son. This is the object of his love. I mean, you read John 17 and you look at, you know, and that word giveth is used so many times. Those whom thou hast given me, and I giveth unto them. And the love that thou giveth me, I giveth unto them. And we dwell in that love. But this is his delight. You know, it's like our children. Our children are a delight, aren't they? Our wives, they're our delight. We see these things. Pictures given to us in the Word of God, pictures that we live in our actual life that are a testimony and an example, a picture of the love of God. And he said, this, my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. There's no question in this. It shall be done. It will be accomplished. It was accomplished. It is accomplished. He shall not cry nor lift up his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and the smoking flax he shall not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And God does all things in truth. I am the way, the truth. God is truth. He speaks truth to us. This word is the word of truth. Everything he says is truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out. You know, I think so much about Job, especially like in the 38th chapter where, Job talks about God in the world when he said, where were you, Job? Where were you when I did all these things? Where were you? How does man have such high thoughts of himself? I don't understand. I do understand. Unfortunately, it's just the pride of our hearts. He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it. Every God gives us breath, the very breath that we breathe, the very life that we have. That's from God. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have our next breath. And spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. And that's what the Lord, he called him in righteousness, and will hold thy hand and will keep thee and will give thee for a covenant of the people, a light of the Gentiles. God gave his son a covenant. A covenant. A covenant of salvation, as I've said, a covenant that was between God the Father and God the Son. And in that covenant, Christ, the Son of God, became surety for his people. That's why he came to this earth. He came to this earth to live as their representative, establishing righteousness for them, righteousness which we must have, because one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to be judged, every single one of us. Every single one of us. And God is holy. God is just. If you're going to stand before God, you have to be perfect. And the thing is, we're not perfect. From the time we're born, we're nothing but trouble. We go astray. We lie. We've sinned against God. We've transgressed his law. We've broken his commandments. We've done, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. What we deserve is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Whosoever believeth on him shall live. I've called thee in righteousness. He gave thee for a covenant of the people. And this is what it is. We talk about the person and the work of Christ, right? Christ is salvation. Christ is that covenant. And we talk about the gifts of God. Christ is the gift of God. And in Christ, we receive the gifts of God. What is that? To open the eyes of the blind. By nature, we can't see. We don't understand. We don't know. God's got to open our eyes. That's why God gave us Bartimaeus as an example. That's an example of salvation. Bartimaeus is sitting there on the side and he hears that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming out. And what was his declaration? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's what he needed was mercy. And what is God's mercy? Causing us to see him. Opening up our eyes so that we can see him, so that we know him. So we're no longer looking to ourselves. We're no longer looking to, you know, our abilities, our capability, feeling like we deserve, you know, the salvation of God, or we deserve the love of God. We don't deserve those things. As I've said, what we deserve is the wrath of God. If we're going to be blessed with anything, it's because God has given us the gift of Christ, and in him are all the gifts of Christ. And to bring out the prisoners from the prison. By nature, we're bound. We're bound. But he brings out the prisoners. You know, Christ was crucified between two men. And then there was another man who before had been determined to hang on that cross. That man went free. That man was set free. And Christ, our substitute, suffered and died in his place. And that's what he does. He sets the prisoners free. Look at Isaiah chapter 61. I hope to be able to communicate this, and what better way to communicate this than to just look and see what God said. That's all we do. That's all. We just open up God's word and see what he says. As Chris says all the time, the best commentary on scripture is scripture. But the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to what? To preach good tidings unto the meek. The gospel, good news. And who is the good news? What is the news good to? Who is it good to? It's the meek, right? The meek, the poor, the needy, the destitute, the hopeless, the helpless. And he sent me to do what? To bind up the brokenhearted. Those who are broken over their sin, those who are broken over their depravity, those who have an understanding of who they truly are. And the only way that we're going to fully understand who we truly are and what we truly are is when we see it in the light of the holiness of God. That's why man goes about boasting of his righteousness, boasting of his works, boasting of him, because he hasn't seen who God is. That's why. And the problem is that in man's estimation, we are gods. That's what it's been from the very beginning. When Satan said, ye shall be as gods. And that's what we wanted. That's what we think we are. Everything that revolves around the religion of this world is setting up man as God, that he has the power to accept God's salvation, that he has the power to do this and that. We have no power. But when God the Spirit reveals himself unto us, when he opens up the eyes of our understanding, when God causes the light to shine in our hearts, he breaks us, he humbles us, he brings us to the dust where we belong. We realize that we are nothing, that we can do nothing, and that the only hope of salvation that we have is him. And that's why we come to his feet as beggars, begging for mercy and for grace. Lord, if thou will, thou canst. I know you're able. I know you can. I know you have the power. But are you willing? Are you willing? And we rest upon him to be willing. And by God's grace, we have the promises of God that all that come to him, he'll cast out none. If we come to him brokenhearted, meek, humble, poor, needy, beggars, God, because he is merciful and loving and kind and gracious, has mercy upon us. And that's the gift of God. We don't deserve that. It's a gift. When a gift is given, there is, and I'm not even going to be able to get to any of this, but it's a gift. A gift is freely given. There's no cost for a gift. If we pay something, then we've purchased it. But a gift is freely given. And the gift came at great cost. To us is freely given, but the cost was borne by him. The cost was paid by him, by his precious blood, when he suffered and died on the cross and gave everything. Suffered the wrath of God, was forsaken by God the Father, suffered and endured the hell that we deserve, the punishment that we deserve. That's the cost of the gift, but to us, it's freely given. God gave his son. Come and buy without money, without price. It's a gift. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison that to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And that's what God does in salvation. We mourn over our sins. We groan. This body of death, this flesh, this sin, this pride, this everything that dwells in me. And this natural man. But he comforts us. He comforts us. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why? That they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And that's what we are. We are trees planted by God. Trees of righteousness. And we grow up. And by God's grace, we actually produce fruit and leaves and we bud. The scriptures talk about the trees planted in the houses of the people in the courts of God. And we're planted by God. God does the planting. This isn't some wild weed that just springs up. This is a tree planted by God. And why? Why? That he might be glorified. All glory belongs to him. Every single bit of it. All glory belongs to him. We see that in our calling. Why did God call the ignorant and the weak and the base and the despised? Why? That no flesh is going to glory in his sight. That's why. And the unspeakableness of the gift of God is manifested in the recipients of God's gift. Those to whom he has given it to. He was not given to the rich, but to the poor and needy. He was not given to the wise, but to the foolish, those who have no understanding. He was not given to the strong, but those who were weak and feeble. He was not given to the righteous. There are none righteous, no, not one. He was given to the corrupt, the base, the defiled, the depraved. He was not given to those who deserve the gift. There are none that deserve the gift. There is none righteous, no, not one. As I've said before, the wages of sin is death. If you want to get what you deserve, it's going to be death, because that's what you deserve. That's what we deserve. That's what I deserve, because we've sinned against God. And that's not who this gift is given to. The unspeakable gift of God was given to sinners. The Lord said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Son of Man has come to save and seek that which is lost." And that picture is given to us throughout the whole entire Word of God. He came to save and seek that which was lost, that which has gone astray. He left the 99 and went and found the one. He went out into the wilderness and found that sheep and put that sheep upon his shoulders and carried it back. And he said, "I've made, I've carried, I've borne all the way to the end." We see that in our calling. Hannah, when she prayed, she declared, "The Lord raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the beggar from the dunghill to set him among princes, to make him to inherit the throne of glory." The objects of God's mercy and grace, the objects of his salvation, the recipients of the gift of God is demonstrated in the Pharisee and the publican, is it not? The Pharisee sat there and he prayed. He said, "God, I thank thee. I'm not like other men. I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that." And what was the prayer of the publican? The prayer of the publican was, "Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner." It's a gift. The Pharisee had no need of a gift, did he? He had already earned everything. He had already deserved everything. Paul talked about that in Philippians, where he said, you know, those things which are gained to me, and that's everything that Pharisee's talking about, is those things which are gained to him. But God's gift is to sinners. It's to those who don't deserve it. And what is the value of the gift? Well, I'll just close with this. What is the value of the gift? To those who believe, he is precious. You know, the scriptures talk about, you know, who are you going to compare me to that we should be alike? What are we going to compare to this gift? That's why it's unspeakable. I mean, what are you going to compare to the Son of God? And he's precious. And those to whom God has given the gift, those to whom receive the gift, to them, Christ is all. Christ is everything. Christ is the fullness of God, and in him we're complete. He is all of our desire. He is our need. He is the gift, and that's what we need. We need him. It's just like, you know, with Jacob. When Jacob was going to Esau, he was met with all these gifts from Esau, all these gifts. And Jacob said, "I got no need for these gifts. I have enough." And if you look at that word enough, that word is all. It's whole. It's everything. I have everything. If I have Christ, I have everything. Everything else is dung. And I cast it away. I don't want that. What I want is, I want to know him. I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. I want him. I need him. This morning, we need his presence. This morning, we need him. Him. There's nothing in this world that can compare to that. And only by God's grace can we even enter into the unspeakable gift of God, which is his precious Son. Through his, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. God the Father made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God. In him, by him, and through him, we receive all the gifts of God. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who has made unto us what? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Paul said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall you not also with him freely give us all things?" All things. And we're called upon by Paul this morning to give thanks unto God for his unspeakable gift. Give thanks unto him. And I pray by God's grace that he causes us to know who the gift is. And that he causes us to be thankful, to worship him, to praise him. May that be what we do this morning, by God's grace, just to be able to worship him. And if we're going to actually truly worship him, he's got to give us the ability to do that. And may he be pleased this morning just to cause us to be thankful. And may we know who that gift is. May we know the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we rest in him. May we this morning come to him and continually come to him and never stop coming to him constantly. Because by nature, we are prone to go astray. By nature, we are prone to look to self. By nature, we are prone to forget. But God pities us as a father doth his child, and he remembers our frame. He knows that we're dust. He knows that we're nothing. He knows that we're incapable of doing anything. I just pray this morning that, I don't know, that by these words, maybe God will give us some wisdom and understanding concerning the unspeakable gift of God. All right, let's pray.